Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again. It is time. This is the Roundtable. Once again, I am your host, Eddie Wright, checking in one time with the unusual suspects, Brother Rob Benson.
What's going on?
And Brother Percy Donaldson.
Yo!
And special guest in the studio today, we have quite a few from our parent company, Late Night Jackson, the host with the most, the one and only, Brother Merk B. Williams.
Hola, como esta?
Also joining us in the studio today, radio personality and entrepreneur, the lovely Miranda Joyner.
Hello.
MJ. And our guest from...
From Jackson,
Mississippi. local, I wouldn't say historian, but local citizen and very appreciative listener, brought in by Percy Donald himself, Lynn.
Thank you.
So, two females, four males. This should be very interesting this week. It's not the Battle of the Sexes episode everybody keeps dying for us to do, but we will get to it. Don't you worry. This week, we will take care of a few topics, and hopefully we'll accomplish them all without flying off to the left too heavily.
Well, it's going to happen.
It typically does. We usually try and get them in, though. We'll start off with a little local news. Pretty sure everybody's aware of the JPS situation, correct? The accreditation issue. They had the hearing today, and it was revealed that they'll be on, I think it's 60 days probation? Some of that nature?
They're on probation. They have 60 days to come up with a plan.
Right, 60 days to come up with a plan, and hopefully the plan is sufficient enough for the school, the state to say, okay, cool, we'll let you guys continue to run. After the verdict, of course, you know, social media goes in from black Twitter to white Twitter to all of our great friends on social media who followed the situation. And I give a lot of credit to one of our avid listeners, Brother Kenneth Page, who had a very good statement to make about the situation in the state. That basically, okay, where are all you parents who are doing all the crying? Because if you do know teachers, like some of us do know teachers and have friends who are teachers, they walk into, I've heard one teacher say herself, hey, I walk into school not knowing what I'm getting every day and ready for hell. And that's not a good thing. And especially in the public school domain, it makes teaching the lesson harder. And for the student in place, it makes getting it three times as hard.
I also think that parents, we have to be better getting kids, teaching kids how to learn before they are in the control of a student, I mean of a teacher or a classroom of any sort. There had to be some type of learning, some type of exercise that we can do to teach these kids to be a little bit more, receptive. To a learning environment.
For a person.
Rod finishes all my senses. Great job, Rod. They need to be a little bit more receptive. When I grew up, my learning didn't start at my elementary experience. It started like with books and reading. And a big thing we had was the letter people.
Yeah.
You remember the letter people?
Letter people were pretty dope.
We had the letter people before we got in class, so.
Damn, that shows our age.
Right.
I know I shouldn't have been lost.
Yeah, so we had, you know, you had things, and there are things out there that where parents can get their kids, like, more receptive to learning and get their, you know, just like working out your brain. There are games they can play. Are there things they can do to get them more receptive to learn before they get in the classroom? Because I'm not going to say the teachers are doing a terrible job. I'm not going to say the parents are doing a terrible job, because I know what the cost of point figure is going to end up. It's going to end up with JPS being privatized and your kids getting vouchers to go to a private school. Mm-hmm. And you really don't want that. You want to be able to go to a public school and know your kid is getting the quality education in that school.
Right, and have access to the teachers and the personnel there to be able to voice your opinion on things and issues.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Miranda J here, hello. I just think that, you know, my mother was a teacher for, I don't know if you guys know, my mother taught school. I went to the elementary school that she taught at, and up until the time she passed away, she literally retired January, February, and passed away in May, right? So she taught up until she passed away, and like, you know, I think when it comes to listening to her talk about parent involvement in the schools and talking about the things that she had to go through and dealing with parents. And I mean, from parents coming up there and being combative to being disrespectful to not knowing the full story to taking sides of elementary kids, because my mother taught elementary, not high school and junior high, where you got a different mentality when it comes to kids. But she taught elementary. It was very difficult to watch her go through some of the things that she went through, knowing the heart that my mother had for teaching, right? Mm-hmm. Shortly before I started working at C-Spire, and then transitioned into radio after that, I was a substitute teacher for a little bit. I was a substitute teacher at Northwest Middle School before it was IB. It was difficult. And not for me so much, because for whatever reason, I don't have a problem like dealing with difficult kids. You know, I don't have a problem with going back and forth. It doesn't stress me as much as it might some others. And then two, it wasn't my permanent job, but I had a job every day as a substitute teacher, because Miss Evans, who was there at the time before it was IB, she called me every morning because I was one of the few subs that they could get to stay and keep coming to Northwest. I didn't go to any other school to teach because I could deal with the kids how they were at Northwest, and I wasn't like pulling my hair out running out of the schools. So at the end of the day, I guess my whole point is that, you know, when I think back on how my mother was involved as a teacher at my elementary school, and even when I went to junior high, how I knew my mother's involvement there and that she was checking up on me and she was doing things, I had a different mindset going to school as opposed to a parent who was totally detached from what's happening in the school. And I really feel like what's really depressing for me to see with this situation and any situation, not just Jackson Public Schools, but with anything, is that people spend a lot of time complaining with their thumbs on social media, right? Or complaining to other people. And there's way more complaining than there is volunteering solutions or volunteering ideas. There's no action. There's no, what about this? Let's try this. I think we should do this. And if they do throw it out there, it's condescending, and it's not really like, oh, I'm finna help y'all do this. Is this what you should be doing on your job? But I do hair all day, or you do your job, or you work at Walmart, or maybe you do, you know, whatever you do. Or me, for instance, I do, you know, I'm a radio host. I'm not a teacher, so I'm not finna tell you how to run your job. I can see and suggest things, but I don't have to get up every morning and deal with these kids and sit in your seat. I would be looking at somebody crazy if they told me how to parent my kid that I know like the back of my hand. And so I just really think parents should show up, and people should show up. If you care as much as you are angry and complaining about it, then you should show up and say, hey, what do we need to do? Show up with questions instead of complaints. That's my rant about that, because I think it makes a whole hell of a difference.
I thought about thumb thugging.
Oh, man. Man.
Like thumb thugging. That's, yeah. You gotta watch that.
Ooh, we got some angry fingers in the world.
I mean, then you can't spell right either.
Right.
Spelling like L-I-K. It's D-I-S.
Right.
And you wonder why the kid's struggling.
All right. That's very true.
And I see that a lot. I see a lot of parents like, my kid don't do this, my kid don't do that. She lying on my baby.
And everybody's lying on your baby.
Everybody lying on my baby. And I remember when I was growing up, if a teacher told my parents I was doing anything, that was automatically, you know, I'm messed up.
Well, the teacher would get you.
Right.
First.
Yeah, yeah. And
they'll never get to hear your side.
And then you got to get home and got it again. Right. And don't let somebody in the neighborhood know what happened. They're going to get you before you even get to the house, man. We don't have communities no more.
No.
We don't have communities no more. Remember, you could go and stay at your home, your homeboy house or your homegirl house or whatever, spend the night with your friends and stuff. Ain't none of that happening no more, man. Right. Kids don't even be outside.
And you also had that rapport of not having to worry about if you got out of line, if your parent was going to get told, because the parent, whoever was closest to you,
right,
was going to straighten that ass. A lot has changed within our community. I think that goes from all sides, top to bottom, left to right. And it's just I think it's a lot up to us to grasp the change. And as MJ said, work on applying a lot of these fixes we just type about. For those of us who are inactive, some of us are active and a lot of us are inactive with our suggestions and actions. As moving forward, we all should make a better approach. It's just like teaching the uneducated about voting. Don't vote with your emotions. Don't make suggestions with your emotions. Get out here and put your feet to the pavement and make something happen.
And even if you're thugging on social media or whatever, you get all emotional. A lot of times people do that because they don't know how to go about taking action on how to involve themselves to help. Don't be so prideful. It's okay to say, I don't know how to be. Yeah, I don't know how to help.
You said the P word.
Yeah.
Pride.
Don't be proud. Like, it's okay to say, I don't know how to help. It's, you know, it's okay. It's all right, you know. But if even if you don't know, then, you know, be grown enough and mature enough as a parent or as an administrator or whatever your position is as it pertains to this particular issue to say, okay, I'm not sure how to go about figuring out what the best solution for this particular issue is. Let's somebody help me or point me in the right direction of the people who can help me. Because at the end of the day, I think the problems that are going on in JPS they haven't just started.
No, so
they've been going on for years, even before I moved to Jackson. So at this point, you know, it's almost like a broken record. We keep repeating what the issues are. But, you know, like Miranda said, you know, nobody's coming up with it. Like, who are the solution-oriented people? Where are they?
I think that, and this is Lynn, everybody. what I can say is when I first moved back to Jackson from Atlanta, I spent 1 year here teaching at a local Jackson school. I won't name it. But I taught kindergarten, and I've also taught pre-K in private school. But that wasn't here. That was in Atlanta. I have an 8-year-old who is in public school right now, but she spent 2 years in private school. So I sort of have a viewpoint from both ends, being a parent and a teacher. From both the private end and both the public end. And it is basically, it's like baking a cake. You can't bake a cake without eggs. You have to have eggs. You can't bake it without flour. You have to have flour. Everybody plays a part, whether it's the parent, the teachers, the superintendent, your crossing guard, your school administrators, everybody plays a part. So I can, and when this is the thing here too, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, one thing about me, I will admit my ignorance. But if I'm not mistaken, here in the state of Mississippi, you do not have to enter into school until, I think, first grade. I think that's the way it goes. I think that they can.
Is it first grade?
Somebody can fact check that. I don't know.
I'll fact check.
Okay. So I know that pre-K is not. I know for a fact that pre-K is not required.
Not required.
And from birth till about 4 or 5 years, that brain is like a sponge. So anything that you can sort of pile into a child at the beginning stages is very, very vital. One of our standards, you know, teaching kindergarten was when we started in August, those kids had to be reading and they had to be writing a certain amount by Christmas before they got out for Christmas. That is a lot of pressure. And I can come in and I can type. There were some nights I did not get sleep. And I can type up lesson plans. I was working with a team. We were coming in there. We loved those kids. And we can work. But the parent has to at least meet me halfway. Mm-hmm. You've got to at least meet me halfway. Mm-hmm. And those teachers that know that go in there and that work, you can see a child that is making a difference within themselves. You can see the click. And you can see them making the gains academically. I had a child that was dealing with, and I won't go into detail, but that was dealing with a lot of personal stuff I found out. And he had made so much academic gain that I hated that I could not stay there and follow him the next year to make sure that he continued to get what he needed to get. Because in my opinion, you know, most teachers will tell you, once I have a child, that's my baby. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to make sure that you're going to continue to get on the road, stay on the road that I have put you on, because I have put this work in you. And, you know, parents need to know, talk to your teachers. You know, they might be stressed out. Call and say, hey, I just want to. It's simple stuff that you can do. Hey, I just want to call and introduce myself. You know, I'm here. If you ever need to call me, maybe you work a lot. That's fine. But make a phone call. It takes nothing to make a phone call. Most of us are always on our phones. It takes nothing to make a phone call. If you get off at a certain time, there are school board meetings. Attend your school board meetings. You know, you might not. I mean, I understand people get to talk and you tired. You don't have to stay the whole time, but at least get there. Hear what's being said. Know what they're doing with the schools that your children are attending, because it takes everybody, not just one, not just the parents, not just the teachers, it takes everybody. So,
well, as Lynn was saying, you need all those ingredients to make that cake. And here locally, we need our cakes to be great. And stating, we fact checked that Mississippi is inching closer to mandatory pre-K law. So it is not required for your child to do pre-K or anything else right now before they go to school. First grade is the only thing that's required.
Oh, wow.
Which is very amazing.
Once you reach first grade, you are behind.
Yes, yeah.
Your first grade.
Yeah. Once you get to first grade,
that's what I'm thinking, man.
They want you. They got them taking tests in kindergarten. Once you reach first grade, if you come into my classroom and you don't even know how to hold a pencil, it's almost impossible for me to meet those standards. Especially if I have a class of almost 30 children and I'm the only one. That's a lot of pressure. Mm. A teacher has more than one boss. A lot of people don't understand that. Mm. That child in that room is the boss, because when they say, Miss So-and-so, I got to stand at attention. What do you need? Mm-hmm. That parent, when they come into my classroom, they're the boss because I'm teaching their children, their most precious commodity. When that administrator, when that principal or that VP comes into my classroom, that's my boss too. So as a teacher, the pressure is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Yep.
I can only imagine, and I most definitely salute all teachers and administrators who are in the field, because it is most definitely a challenging job. As we move forward onto the topics today, this one was most definitely the topic of the night, brought in hand by Brother Percy Donaldson. So I'll let him lead the way on what this is going to be about, because this is very dear to his heart.
Which one? Which topic is that now?
The disconnect. The entire disconnect.
Oh, the disconnect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got a lot of these topics tonight, man. I'm telling you, we could be anywhere tonight. Okay, so first of all, I want to go back to Corn Gaines,
mm-hmm.
the young lady who was killed in...
With shotgun.
Baltimore?
Yeah, with
shotgun. Yeah, it was in Baltimore.
Okay. Corn Gaines. When Corn Gaines died, I looked at the internet and all I saw was, this crazy wench got a shotgun and she crazy and all a bunch of stuff. And she might have a mental health problem. That could have been true. I don't know. But I didn't see people like giving her a chance and like listening to her side of what she thought. And I definitely didn't see people checking up on all the stuff she did to show that she was harassed by the police.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked in, what was that, Milwaukee the other day?
Yeah. The individual that was shot.
The young black man who was being chased by the police, and they said he pulled a gun and he shot. A city is burning because
it's
of that.
Harold right now.
It's burning. And I just want this is for the black people listening. We didn't treat that woman like we treated that man. We didn't give her a chance at all. You know, once we saw a couple videos and see her in some terrible situations, you know, in some dire, stressful situations when you got the police harassing you daily. We didn't give her the same benefit of the doubt that we gave this brother in a stolen car with a gun, even though he was licensed to carry.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a disconnect right there. And every time I look at all these marches and things, I see a lot of black women out there. And I see them speaking their truth. And I see a lot of black fellas too, but these black women been going hard for us, man. Very hard. And all I'm saying for us, we're going to be there. Let's be there for everybody. I mean, we ain't got to say nothing is right and nothing is wrong, but just have compassion for the situation. I'm not saying burn up a city. I'm not saying burn up a city. Y'all might think I'm saying we should have burnt up Maryland. No, I ain't saying that. Baltimore. But I'm just saying, like, we're not there. And there's a disconnect, and there's an interesting intersection. It's a terrible intersection, actually, that black women come to when it comes to racism on one side of the street and misogyny on the other side of the street. And they're in the middle. And as I don't know if it's because I don't know if, you know, we can be ignorant to some things as men. We can be ignorant to some things. And I will be on Facebook or Twitter or something arguing with the Caucasian about racism and history and stuff like that. And he'll say, well, Percy, I just don't get where you're coming from. You sound like you're making excuses. And the same thing will happen in an instance where I can have an argument or I can have a discussion with a female, and somehow I end up in the same situation this white guy was just in. Well, I'm telling her, like, I don't get where you're coming from. It doesn't sound that way to me, or it sounds like you make that way to me, or it sounds like you make an excuse.
So I'll stop you right there and leave the question to MJ and Lynn and asking, do you guys agree that there is a disconnect, not just with black-on-black communication with the brothers and sisters, or do you believe there's a disconnect across in social I guess integration itself, from person to person?
I'll let you go first.
No, that's a heavy question. Well, a couple of things that were running through my mind where you were talking. This is Miranda. That were running through my mind while you were speaking. I disagree on a certain level to. I honestly don't think that when it comes to the marching and us doing what we do, when it comes to what's happening in America, that's this attack that's happening on African Americans, that it's a male female thing. Because people were in an uproar about Sandra Bland, and, you know, I mean, there were, at the same time, I think there's a whole nother issue there when it comes to who we get stand up for and the wind that the media blows us in when it comes to these issues. So I would like to speak on that. I know we're talking about the male female, but that's really heavy. Can I speak on that? Okay. So this is what I feel in reference to that, and then I'll let you handle the heavy question about the male female. Because I'll let Lynn handle that. Because this is what's on my mind about that is because, you know, I mean, I'm in media, and this has been heavy on my mind in looking at social media and paying attention to certain things, because I think a couple of things have happened in the course of the last couple of years when we've been exposed to so much press and media and just the world in general is at the palm of our hands 24/7. The things you see and that you're a part of every day, it affects you. You know, the fact that we can see killings and things is happening in other cities and in other states, and it gets us in an uproar here, and it almost desensitizes us to the things that's happening right around us. It absolutely amazes me. I feel like at times we get in an uproar about these killings, these people's names that matter. They absolutely matter. These people in other cities who are being, you know, hunted and killed, you know, for, you know, just that's what it is in certain cases. We get in an uproar about it, but right here in our own city it's happening, and we're not as bothered by it as we are when the media talks about, picks and chooses the cases. Because if this is happening in every city all the time, then we pick a Sandra Bland, we pick this girl, and, you know, we pick this guy, and the media says, okay, we're gonna highlight this person this week. Because realistically, it's happening in Jackson on a regular basis. It's happening in other cities. Jackson isn't the worst. It's happening in other cities on a regular basis. There are horrible cases that we can hear about from friends of ours that work in courthouse. We got friends that's in the police force, and we hear stories, but those stories never make the media. And so the bigger media will give us these stories and make them the face of all that's going on, and we get in an uproar about it. I saw a post from somebody who was talking about wanting to give Gabby a hug because of her getting, you know, being upset about the whole thing with her edges. And I thought to myself, man, I could think of about 15 girls here in Jackson that you could hug for way, you know, that are you,
quicker.
Yeah, but forget quicker for even more severe things that are happening in their lives. I work with an organization where I listen to teenage girls talk about things that have happened in their lives that they should not have had to go through. I'm not going to say the organization, but I partner with them and we do things with these girls. And to sit and listen, I mean, it chokes me up that they have to go through things that I've never had to go through in my entire life. And they have to go through these things at a young age. And, you know, and so for me, I feel like the media pushes us in, you know, we're emotional creatures, African-Americans. We are. We run our businesses emotionally. We run our lives emotionally. We run our wallets emotionally. And so I think the media plays on that.
Mm-hmm. That's all. I run my wild emotions.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I never thought about it that way.
That's very absolutely. And so they give us these people. You know, not that they don't matter. Not that these names, these list of names, because they do matter, and they do. But we got a list of names that are right here around us that we could start getting upset and being riled up about, and going and hugging and marching for, and we can go knock on that door. We can go knock on their family's door and say, hey, what can we do? But we don't do that because the media gives us the people. They choose for us who we should stand behind. And they sway us in the direction that we feel like we should go. And so I don't really think it's a male with that in particular. Mm. Now, there is a divide between women and men, and I'm gonna let her talk about that. But Lynn can have that. But if y'all wanna, you know, go in on that, but I absolutely am just, I'm in the media, but man, when you're in it and you see both sides of it, you know, they really do set the tone for us and we allow them to. And it's amazing.
That's a real cool perspective. Like, that's real dope. I'm glad. That's dope right there. Because, like, yeah, you get that world and the media perspective. That's like, you know, okay, that I'm with you. That was good.
To watch God on that comment, I did see the thing today where the white guy was on some drugs or something.
And yeah, he hit with a bean bag.
No, he ate somebody's face off.
It's a college kid. Yeah, basically what happened is his college kid, and he was apparently on Flocka, whatever, that synthetic weed, whatever you want to call it. And so the officers tried to get him under control. They tased him and did all kind of stuff. They couldn't control him. He was essentially eating, I think it was his roommate or somebody. Eating the roommate face.
Like, okay, then.
He attacked two people and ate one of them face. He was literally eating this person's face while they trying to, hey, stop eating his face. You know?
Okay, then. And they didn't shoot him.
No.
Yeah, the lead was literally, he's a good guy who ate somebody's face.
Yes.
Yep. That was it.
And that's what the media does to us. They paint us in this picture. They give us the story.
You should have saw his picture. The picture they posted. The picture. Yeah. Him with his bib. He had a nice
yeah, buddy.
He had his nice collegiate fraternity shirt on, eye cap or whatever.
How did this guy get here?
And he's
smiling. Why did this happen?
You know, right. Like he's standing by the ocean or something. He looked like
saving babies out the water.
Man, he looked like he got a 3.6 GPA. He majored in like biomedicine or something, I don't know, and dude eating people's face. Like,
so how do you trust the media that sets the tone for us and lie and gives us that and we know it, but we trust the things that they feed us?
So we don't trust.
In a general sense, we let it move us.
We do. We do. I agree with that.
We let it move us.
Six of us probably don't.
I recommend everybody read this book. It's maybe like 10, 12 pages. I recommend everybody read this book. Yeah, it's really they call it a book. They call it a book.
It's a book. It has to be at least 25 in order for you to publish it.
Yeah, well,
paperback or whatever. But
that's game, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a book. No.
Well, it's like a book / pamphlet. Anyway, the guy who wrote it, his name is Edward Bernays. It's called Propaganda. He's the creator of the word public relations. You know, at first it was propaganda, but propaganda got to be a bad word during World War II, mm-hmm. and they changed it to public relations. And so if you just get a chance, just look it up on Edward Bernays, EDWARDBERNAY, Propaganda. Look that up. You'll find it for free on the internet. Nice. I think everybody should read it before they watch any news report, before they watch any commercial, and you'll see, like, because just like we was talking about the guy who ate the face. The face eater. We were talking about the face eater. And I was just thinking about
some justice right to the sales, man.
I was like, what would be the headline if there was a black guy?
Right. Hold on.
Cannibalistic jungle man.
King Kong.
Yeah. King Kong.
Eats the face.
And the picture
like
would be of him still with flesh in his mouth. Just
bloodthirsty. Yeah.
But let's not forget about Lynn. I get to you and give you that the second part of that question.
Sorry, Lynn.
Regards to the disconnect. Is there a disconnect between the black male and the black female when it comes to communication across those calm lines and violent lines?
Okay, well let me preface what I'm about to say by saying this. I do agree with you, Miranda, that you know, the media sort of picks and chooses what we see. Mm-hmm. They pick and choose what's written about in the papers and that sort of thing. Here's the thing where we cannot forget about our own sense of choice. we choose what we respond to and how we respond to it. So in with regards to the question about the disconnect possibly between, you know, with regards between the sexes, with how we respond to black men getting killed versus black women getting killed. And the truth of the matter is that I'm just of the opinion that, you know, I feel like Sandra Bland was probably the only one that we really gave a whole lot of attention to. When, you know, she was, when she died in jail. And so, you know, these other young ladies, we just have not get, we haven't given them the same amount of attention that we gave Trayvon Martin or Eric Garner or Michael Brown, you know, or Alton Sterling or, you know, or anyone else. We have not given, I think, black women the same, that we haven't given them the same courtesy. We haven't given them the same benefit of the doubt. We haven't offered up the same types of possible explanations that could have occurred at the time that you know, the police stopped them. And even in cases where we could possibly say, out of all the black men that have unfortunately been murdered at the hands of police, when we could say, we could possibly say, hey, maybe they could have done something a little differently. But we didn't. We didn't apologize for those actions. We stood up for them, and we said, no matter what was done, as a police officer, you are trained, or you're supposed to be trained, at least, you know, to handle situations in a certain way. And these people that you are coming for, they're not trained. So there's no excuse for pulling a gun out on someone that can be stopped in a nonviolent way. But when it happens to a sister, you know, we make up all these sorts of excuses, I feel like, for why we don't go to bat for them and stand on the front lines for them as quickly as we will for a brother. And I think that the key buzzword here is intersectionality, which basically means that, you know, we as black women are dealing with different things than our male counterparts. So even though you might not realize it, being a male and black, being a male is a privilege. It's a privilege for you because we live in a patriarchal society. So men are given certain benefits of the doubt with regards to certain things. I mean, you name anything, whether it's in the workplace. Technically speaking, a brother ended up in the White House even before a white woman did. So, you know, with that being said, black women, we have to deal with the racism. We have to deal with the sexism. We have to deal with everything, basically, that comes our way in a way that men don't necessarily understand it. So I could literally go to my job and, you know, a white woman or someone Caucasian or even of another race can discriminate against me because of the color of my skin. But Joe Brown over here can also discriminate me against me because I'm a woman and want me to show some skin. So I'm getting it from both sides. Now, one of y'all might go to work and you might only get it because of the color of your skin, but you're not going to get it because you're a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you take it more seriously. And the harassment, I mean, it's almost expected.
Right.
You know, it's almost like, oh, that ain't nothing. You should just, yeah, you know, if I'm going to say something about your boobs, but, you know, hey, just let that slide. I ain't touch you.
I couldn't imagine being a woman, and I'll go ahead and say it, and having to deal with...
Especially a fine woman.
Right, and having to deal with certain things in the workplace and in real life, it's just like you're being hunted every day. All day.
And it's hard to even do business on some levels with certain people, because even in the conversation, if there's not a tone, there is a direct comment. I have to fight through this BS of, you know, flirt to get to, okay, can we finally... And even in some cases, there are cases where I'll just go along with the flirt just to get over this hump so you realize, okay, nothing, now can we get to why I'm here? Because if this was a male-on-male interaction, you wouldn't have to go through that BS.
I mean, I think us guys, I think we can all vouch for this. Have you ever had a female tell you, will you go up here to this mechanic shop? Or will you go up here to this parts store?
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So they won't beat me.
Yeah.
And that's like the basic thing. And just imagine having to do that every day. Would you have to go through to this mechanic shop? Or he's if I was a man, I would probably pay less for this car. You know, because it's all types of things. Interest rates. Goods. Buying goods and services. All that type of stuff. People will discriminate against women. And, you know, me being a single guy, I get this a lot. And I see this type of stuff. I'm always the guy going to the parts store, going to the mechanic shop.
Right.
Because they don't want to get beat. And I thought about that the other day. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And, like, it's always a guy who's going to take advantage. It's always a guy.
Yeah. But at the same time, hold on. Rob had a story the other day when you went to the dealership with the rock in your wheel caliper.
Oh yeah, who?
But the receptionist was a woman, yeah. And it was a guy who was trying to beat you. So it happens on both sides, but it not as much on our side than theirs. I do agree with that.
Like,
I
was just never. like it's like 1 in 99 chances.
I got another one.
Nah, it's like, well, black men. I think black men as a whole. This is my personal opinion. We just need to do better. Period.
I'm with you.
Like for just as far as like, I don't know, like black women, man, now.
Like at life.
Yeah, man. We gotta do better at life. We really do, man. Cause like, bruh, black women, they I think they kind of. I don't want to say it because I was having this conversation with my significant other, and she was, you know, she kind of made some really good points, and just the overall thing she was saying was like, you know, a lot of black women out here like really don't have a lot of faith in the black man, bruh. Speaking of on the core and gang situation, if you go back and you look at the comments on social media, at least 75% of the people condemning her were African American men.
It was scary.
That's sickening, bruh. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Whereas you have black women who, you know, it don't matter if dude is right or wrong. The police shouldn't have killed him. That's all that matters.
OJ.
And we finna go fight for him.
But let me stop you right there. At the same time, we can segue into the whole edges controversy.
Well,
we ain't doing that.
Well, here's
as men,
let me say this too.
So what do you say as far as
the edges thing goes, man, look.
So there's a level of seriousness and then there's a level of pettiness.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
And so one thing is something that's to be, you know, this is petty that's being blown out of proportion.
Absolutely.
And while I totally agree that it shouldn't, when I saw the headline about her being hurt behind it, I thought to myself, my gosh, I'm sure you've had to go through more than that in the gym with your peers. I'm pretty sure they've slammed you more than, but I get it. I get it. Everybody's world is different. And so to have a whole world of social media pulling in on you when you feel like you're fighting, you know, you're over there winning medals and, you know, for a country, I get it. But
you're being uber sensitive.
But even the comments about it were petty. To even for the media to blow it up and for it to get blown out of proportion is petty.
Let's kind
of
take this focus off of this and talk about her edges. Like, you know, hey, man, like, how many people edges do you talk about on a daily basis? Exactly. So look, hey man, Gabby came on national TV with her edges gone and this lace front on her forehead. Ha ha ha! It's funny. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what? You can. This is my thing too, because I had a conversation with a couple people on Facebook about some stuff the other day. The when it comes to offenses, here's the thing that we don't really get. I feel like. We really don't have a, like, if someone in here gets offended by something, I don't have a right to tell you not to be offended. I don't have that right. The only thing that I can do is to try to understand why you're offended. Mm-hmm. That's if I even care. Now, if I don't care and I'm being mean, I'm being petty, that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah.
But I don't have a right. And I agree that she probably, I'm sure, has dealt with a whole lot more. But if you take something small
and blow it up
and it's just compounded to where you got thousands of social media users tweeting.
That was the headline.
And making statuses about your edges, I mean, yep. come on. You know what I'm saying? This is
that
just,
in itself is petty.
This is not just I one agree. Person that's jonesing on you. You yeah. know, this is
it's different.
This is something.
It's the entire earth.
Yeah. yeah.
this is, you know,
wait, the earth that you over there.
The earth
and man, you know,
you represent the country.
You know,
I get it.
Eddie, to your comment about the fact that, okay, you know, hey, you know, it was mainly sisters that were talking about her edges. Let's just keep it real. You know, there are some sisters out here that I feel like we have been conditioned to what we are supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. We have been conditioned into to what we're supposed to be like. And let's keep it real. You want to keep it real? I'm going to keep it real. We are conditioned to look a certain way for men. So, you know, if we feel like y'all don't like those rough edges, or you like that hair a certain length or a certain wavy or a certain straight, then that is what we value. Why? Because we love you and we care about what you think. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, a lot of the women, you know, that are making these comments, I feel like, you know, it's coming from a place of this is what it's supposed to be. And this is what you're supposed to look like. I mean, how many of us black women as little girls, you know, the times we grew up in, you know, you're not walking out the house with your hair looking a certain way. They didn't take anything into context with whether or not you've been playing or whatever else. You know, you had to look a certain way. Your hair had to be combed. Your clothes had to be clean. You know, for women, we had to look a certain way. We were taught certain things. And then, you know, with Gabby, it's just, you know, we're not taking into consideration that she's an athlete, but, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, do you think those same values of yesteryear are being passed down right now?
No.
With have your hair a certain way, dress a certain way when you go outside, act a certain type of manner. Do you think that's being passed down? And I ask that because, and this is going to go into the big hit of the day of, and it may bother a lot of people, but hey, Thacker Jones, ladies and gentlemen, he calls it, was it Pussy Hunt? Whatever it was. The young lady who videotaped the police officer getting at her.
Okay.
As she was walking down the street. Mm. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was saying, are those same values being passed down from yesteryear? Hey, don't go out here and, it's disrespectful, number one, not to respect your home, but it's more, it's twice full as disrespectful to disrespect yourself. Regardless of what the next person is doing, you don't get yourself out of character. Mm. Are we losing that value on both the male and female side?
Yeah. I don't know if this answers your question, but I think I definitely think that it's a lot deeper than just an appearance thing, right? Yeah. And I think in this day and time, for what happens is you have a lot of people. Social media has, and you know, and I don't know if it's the Antichrist or not, but social media is a beautiful thing, and it's a horrible thing all at the same time.
It's like a beautiful nightmare.
And it's a beautiful nightmare. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what it has done is it has made so many people feel like they need to hurry up and have an opinion and a stand on something. Mm-hmm. And it makes people feel like they have to be the first, that they have to put their sense in, that they have to be the one. And what's happening is we have a lot of people that are deeply not, they're unhappy with themselves. Mm-hmm. And so where you're unhappy with yourself, no matter what type of job you have or what you're doing, because you're unhappy and you can't find your own self-value and self-worth, you can't look at this beautiful lady who is up here doing this amazing thing in the Olympics, and you can't acknowledge the amazing thing she's doing. And because your self-value lies in your appearance, mm-hmm. the only thing that you can look at her and say, oh, well, my appearance is on 10, so I'm going to judge her appearance. Mm-hmm. Because that's how you identify yourself. That's how you find value in life. That's how you find your self-worth, is by your eyelashes and your hair and what type of clothes you wear and how big your booty is and how slim your waist mm-hmm. is and how many waist trainers, you know, you could put on at one time and still walk and sit and stand and eat lunch and not pay. Out.
Right.
And so because that's and I mean, but the reality is because that's where your self-worth is, and I'm not knocking it, it's really a set, like I speak from a place of compassion, because I really wish I could take some of these women and shake them to find something deeper within themselves to be proud of. Mm-hmm. And I think because they can't, they don't, because they find their identity in those things, that's why they attack that on her, because that's all they can identify with is her edges.
What I see in myself, I see.
Yeah, I see in somebody else. So my edge is straight, why her edges ain't straight? And instead of acknowledging the
never
good.
Mind the balance, baby.
Yeah.
Like, never mind the other shit I can't do.
Yeah. Like.
Them uneven bars.
It's like that argument. That when you're joning with your friend or something, and the only thing you can think about, well, your mama.
Yes.
That's all you got.
And I really wish somewhere in life, you know, we can get back to a place as women to just find our self-worth and to just find that deeper thing that makes us amazing as women, as African Americans, and to stop focusing so much. I think natural hair is a beautiful thing. I think it's great. But at the same time, if I don't want to have natural hair, then don't try to attack me and throw me under the bus for not being woman enough. I just think that we should be able to get beyond the surface of who we are as women and find some inner pride. And we just ain't doing it.
Tall task.
It is a tall task. But that's the root of the problem. If I don't have inner pride, then I'm going to attack this. I'm going to be petty and talk about her edges. Because I don't have nothing else to bring to the table. This is what I'm concerned about in my life, is my edges and my...
I'm watching the Olympics, but I'm...
But I see her edges. I'm concerned about her edges.
Yeah, she did. She did a thing on that gymnastics.
Don't let her win.
Her edges messed up.
Right. Don't let her win.
Your mama, yeah.
She's standing on the podium looking like that. Don't let her win.
But forget what she's talking about. Forget how moving it is that these African Americans are breaking records and are doing great things in the Olympics. Our headlines is we talking about edges, and now we gotta be concerned that she's concerned that the world is talking about her edges on Twitter.
And it ties back into what you were talking about with the media, how they blow stuff up.
Yeah. It's a headline. Yeah. It's a headline.
In her defense, too, she did say that she came from a military family, and she didn't have her... Everybody got on because she didn't have her hand over heart. And she said that was partially the reason that she was upset, because... It wasn't just the edge. The edges were part of it.
Oh, yeah, they did. Some people attacked, same people were cheering her.
They were calling her attacking because she didn't have her hand over her heart
like everybody else did. Mm-hmm. And that baby just got through flipping and swinging and all that other stuff. She tied. Yeah.
But if she don't, who cares?
Who cares?
All right.
Like what is, why does that have to equal to, why do we have to give it a whole paragraph? we gonna give it a whole dissertation. Like, we know, I know exactly why you didn't do that.
Blew it up and said she didn't have her hand over her heart, so now she
white folks,
now it's treason or something like that. I don't know.
It's treason.
Well, because just, you know, our patriotism is always in question. It's always in question when our white counterparts are not questioned in the same way. Yeah. So
they're looking for a reason to hate us. I mean, they find everything and anything. So.
It's some self hate going on, and I tell you this too about Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg knows exactly what he's doing. He knows something about self hate. I don't know what these algorithms have taught him, but they have taught him something that we all need to know, because it seems like he's just flipping them. Like, it's certain people, like feeds that I always used to see, like I don't even see anymore
because they happy.
Then they call me and they be like, man, you didn't see this post I put on there. I'm like, no, I didn't see nothing.
Like, are you being happy today? I can't see happy on Facebook.
Yeah, I didn't see it
happen.
And I think it's something to these algorithms, man. I think it's something to these algorithms. That's why
it could be brain training. And if you don't know what brain training is, it's just like, and MJ, you're in the radio world. Mm-hmm. It's just like when they try and break a song, they're going to play it over and over and over and over. And you're like, man, I hate this song. And the next thing you know,
you sing all the words.
Mm-hmm. Goddamn singing.
But the bigger picture, too, here is what we've done is we've become so attached to these devices and to Facebook. Like to your point here that you just said, Percy, is that somebody's asking you, did you see what I posted on Facebook, when you know this person in real life, right?
And so
what's happening is, and people don't want to admit this, and every last one of us in this room, I dare to say, myself included, every last one of us has some level of addiction to social media, has some level of addiction to our cell phone. And so what's happening is our realities are beginning to warp. We're starting to feel like people's opinions on online matter, because that's what I see all day. Mm-hmm. And these things that people are talking about on social media that I need to know, I need to be a part of it, because it feels like an alternative world to us. And we're disconnecting from each other.
In the real world.
Like, we ain't got no patience for each other. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't have no patience, we're lacking compassion, which is so essential.
Like, we see each other. We talk for like 15 minutes. We ready to go.
Boy,
I'm talking to you and you like,
bruh, sometimes when I'm on my phone and I'm trying to read something, somebody says something, I'm like, what?
What?
What? Yeah, I'm trying to read this in my phone. Like, and then I think to myself, oh my God, what is wrong with me? You know?
Yeah. It gets rough, man. Devices, technology, and all of these gadgets that weren't available yesteryear that are available today, along with the, to us who have kids, not regulating, because I'm guilty to a certain extent of not regulating myself or sometimes regulating my child, we make the matters worse.
Yeah.
So it, again, the resolution starts with us and the problem begins with us.
I agree.
So yeah. we if it's anything to fix, it's going to start with ourselves. Let's continue this journey before we wrap up today and get to the top 10. Any sports lovers? Of course, ladies, do you guys watch sports besides the Olympics?
I jump in a little bit.
Okay, we kicking ass in the Olympics. We are pretty much a sink for the medal lead. We won't beat Usain Bolt ever.
Can't nobody catch him but Ellen.
That
was good.
And we flipping like
super sensitive. So super sensitive
two,
people on that too. I'm like,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eddie.
So right now we swimming like hell. We flipping like a motherfucker, and we are bawling out of control. We just can't run. So we'll take those three right now. And in you guys' opinion, do you guys think this has been a pretty good Olympics despite all of the worry about the water and living situations in Rio?
And getting robbed at gunpoint.
Yeah, and getting robbed at gunpoint. Right. They tell you, hey, don't go here.
Don't go here.
And you go there.
That's on. It's not on Ryan Lochte. They told you not to go.
You know your boy.
It was, they pulled, somebody pulled a gun on
it. It was fake cops.
It was fake cops.
Fake cops.
Mm-hmm. He didn't get robbed. You got to check the news. He did not get robbed.
He didn't? What happened?
He left.
He left and got, he went through a detector and he pulled out the same wallet and same phone.
Same watch that they said he took.
By Rio judges looking for him and everything.
Yeah.
And
he was going to get his passport taken.
So who's already back in the U.S.?
He.
So he already back over
in Texas. His lawyer released a statement tonight.
Man.
He said he got robbed.
He said he got robbed.
He went to the airport and pulled it all out and put it in the container, slid it through the thing. They got the video.
When they were talking about Rio and prior to the Olympics getting there, there were people, I was reading the comments under the news, like CNN, it was the people in Rio saying, oh, come over here, y'all don't want to come. Like, they were the ones, like, I wasn't reading American comments, because I don't care nothing about them, because we crazy, we think we know everything, but I was reading people from over there, and they were like,
don't come over
here. Hey, it's stuff happening over here. It's-
right. I watched a video on YouTube.
With them robbing.
It's little kids.
Is robbing.
Yeah,
did you see the other video where they built the main stadium where they did the opening ceremony less than a block away? You know, they let you smoke crack out in the open.
Wow. Yes.
There's a place
that's
about a block and a half away from Olympic Stadium where the opening ceremony was. And what they do is they let you smoke crack like out in the open.
Oh, wow.
It's like about a block and a half long, full of junkies.
Man, it's wow. Real, man. And a lot of those people over there suffering look exactly like us. You know what I'm saying?
So these people don't have jobs. They just collect cans and cash them in to go buy rocks.
That's why I could never understand why I'd take the Olympics to the poorest place, damn near, in the world. And if you never really seen what happens after the Olympics, I encourage you to go Google Olympic cities after the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
League.
Yeah,
really. It is a very interesting photo gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, when I tell you people get gone,
I can imagine.
It's like ghost town.
It is like a ghost town.
Yeah.
You would not even know the Olympics. Just like in Russia, you would probably never even know the Olympics was there now.
But the stadium there.
That's it. They spent all of this ridiculous money. Lord knows where it goddamn come from.
Kosovo? Is that where it was?
No, it was.
I don't know.
It was in Korea.
Something. I don't know.
I tell you another thing I saw at the airport in Brazil. The police actually had a bulletin like board, like, we cannot protect you here.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that's real. Like,
welcome to Brazil.
The U.S. is staying on a boat. Yeah. The U.S. basketball team is on a
yacht.
On a cruise liner, along with a lot of other people who paid a lot of money to be there. But right. My thing is, it's so safe.
Why are you going?
Why are y'all on a boat?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. I think black athletes need to boycott anyway, but that's something.
I mean,
but anyway, I just feel like they don't know how much power they really have to affect social change.
That's a whole nother conversation for another time.
That's all I'm saying. You can speak out. You can wear your T-shirts, all that stuff, but the pockets is where you hit them at. If you, that's all I'm saying. But anyway, as far as just to get back on topic. Yes, black people, we out here kicking tail. Shout out to Tory Booty. Booty, she won the bronze tonight. 200 meters. Yeah, Tory Booty. I'm sorry, I was thinking about
when I leave here. You know I wasn't going to let that ride.
I know, I was trying to think about something else when I left here. Shout out to Tory Booty. Sand Hill, Mississippi.
Sand Hill.
Southern Miss to the top. You all know what it is.
It's interesting you say you got to fake the pockets. I haven't watched the Olympics live yet since it's been on. I've maybe watching replays. I try to catch the highlights.
Me and you both. I'm with you. Yeah, me three.
I refuse.
Have you tried watching the 3,000 meters, Brad? No. No. All day, man. Six commercial breaks and they still running, man.
Yeah, I've been watching replays like a mug online.
Send me the highlight. Who
those Nielsen ratings mean something, man.
Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah.
They do.
They do.
And I'm glad to see them down for these Olympics.
Yeah.
Because, I didn't like the fact that, they showed, the places they were clearing out before the Olympics.
Dude, it was bad.
Yeah, they were just moving entire groups of people, whole neighborhoods, whole communities. They moving these guys out and making these Olympic cities. And I never liked that. And I just figured, the least I could do is, not let these people,
right, not give them my viewership.
Give them my viewership with those Nielsen ratings, and hopefully that'll change and make them put them somewhere. I don't know. But I just felt like that was I just can't sit there and see them bring all that, all this wealth, and sit it on top of poor people, and then just leave.
And watch, in 365 days, you won't recognize half of those buildings. I guarantee.
Now, Tokyo gonna do it right.
Tokyo having issues now. The only things left is the Nets Stadium, and it's in poor condition. They barely use it. I'm telling you, go to Google and look at that. And it's a lot of interesting stories to read, man. Let's say we're here again into entertainment news before we leave. Big Sean, the homewrecker.
Big Sean, the homewrecker.
Well, that's the headline.
Talking about the Jenny Aiko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people got some very adverse.
She cute.
Yeah. She's 17. A lot of people call the man a homewrecker simply because she was married, and they have been doing she was married.
She was just now recently
filing for divorce, but they're saying all of this is because of the interaction between her and Big Sean and their latest musical ventures.
That man didn't wreck that home. It was probably already wrecked.
He been hanging out with Alicia Keys and
Swizz.
she going basking. She going hard for America right now. She over there saving kids and
she a philanthropist since falling. She ain't came back yet.
Has anybody seen Amber Rose's new show?
Heck no.
I didn't know she had a new show.
I did see it. I looked in the trash. I was looking for something to do.
Oh, and that was my next comment. I hear it's pretty awful. As Prayer Person said, I'm not going to give it any of my viewership because
she got to learn how to read off a teleprompter, bro. She was struggling.
That bad?
It was...
struggle speech?
How you use your fingers a pointer and the man went to the store.
Mr. Fig.
She's got different hair now. So I saw the commercial. She's not doing the blonde. She got something now.
Yeah, it looks retarded.
She just she looked like Rachel Dozier with a stripper body, basically.
That's true. A$AP Rocky is joining the Kardashian clan, they say.
Oh, she is? Congratulations.
Well, rapper guy. That's what he say. I'm on a new level. That's him.
No, that's one of his other homies. That's ASAP.
How many ASAPs is
it? I have no idea what he calls himself. ASAP Mob. So apparently, it's quite
like
a few.
The Jenkins family. There's a thousand Jenkins and there's a thousand
ASAP. ASAP. I wish they would all sit down as soon as possible.
ASAP Rocky is going for the career boost. He feel like he is losing in media, so he's going to the Kardashians to boost his life.
Sometimes you just
that's where you go.
That's like a black hole.
Is that where you go?
That's the viewership. To get up for nothing. To get up.
That really don't matter. Well, you can't.
Black China them got their own show now.
Yeah, you're right.
And a baby on the way. Still pregnant.
On the way. Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy. Like your ex boyfriend is like your in law.
How weird is that going to be?
Yeah, he should be in jail for statutory rape.
He should.
But nobody's talking about that.
Yeah,
they pick and choose them rapes, man.
This is a lot of people.
Oh, Tiger! I seen that. I noticed that about. It was a. What's the episode? What's the show? I can't think of the name of the show. It was about the white guy and his family.
That's a lot of shows.
Yeah, all of them pretty much. Hey, but it was a show on TV where this guy was known for rape. I can't think. Was it Malcolm in the Middle? Dad. The dad on that show?
I don't know.
One of them. I don't know, but he had been, he was
Seventh Heaven?
Yeah. It was
Seventh Heaven.
It was the white guy, right?
Yeah, the dad. Yeah. Yeah, he was a pedophile or something. Yeah. And the show stayed on for years. Nobody ever knew it.
And it's still on.
It's still on.
But you can't see cops show.
They pick and choose,
but you can't see the
cops.
Yeah,
because,
you know, he was finna buy NBC.
You can't even see the Cosby Show on Netflix, bruh.
Hey, man.
I just don't want to hear no other black person being accused of buying half of NBC. Like,
can we stop?
Can we stop saying black folks are going to buy half of NBC?
Stop,
I don't care if they was going to buy it. You know, they ain't going to sell NBC no black folks, man. Let's get BET back. How about we just buy BET?
No, Viacom ain't letting that go, son. Yeah. That shit gone. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Round Table. Once again, I'm your host, Eddie Wright, joined by a very distinguished group of people, the unusual suspects, Percy Donaldson and brother Rob Benson, host of Late Night Jackson, Merk B. Williams, radio personality, Miranda Joyner, and teacher advocate, Lynn. This has been a very good show. So what we'll do, since we have a lot of you guys this episode, we got this thing called the Top 10. So we'll do it real fast and go through it. The question's the same as last week. But we want to see how everybody top 10 racks up, okay?
Okay.
Just real short answers. It's nothing incriminate. Nothing you're going to have to go home and answer for. It'd be real fun.
Right? Oh. Oh, my mule, Lord.
I don't know about that.
Question one. Mill Street or State Street?
Can't say pay.
This wasn't in the contract. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, wow.
Question one. Mill Street or State Street?
It depends on what we doing.
Am I driving down it?
Oh, driving. Oh, I thought we were getting something to eat or trying to buy something. I'm going to say State Street.
Yep, State Street. State Street.
Easily.
Two, politics or truth?
Truth.
I'll take the truth any day.
Truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number three, Rankin or Hines?
Hines, because my tag out. Hines County, stand up.
Hines.
Lynn?
Hines.
Four, Hillary or Trump? Pretty much no. That's what's going
Jesus.
Right. You want Ebola or you want... That's what I'm saying. Hey,
you want Ebola or herpes.
I'm riding with Hill, man.
Obama and a mustache.
You damn right.
Hillary.
All right, number five, Hamels or Bullies?
Bullies.
Number six.
Shout out to Jason Thompson, the roof fell on his head when he was in about 2 months ago. I'm real, this really happened. Dude was in there eating, the roof fell on his head.
Almost
cute.
Number six, JSU
kids.
Or Alcorn?
Oh, man, D.I. Love, bro. JSU, man.
I ain't go to either one.
Me neither, but I'm going to JSU, though.
Yeah, I got to ride for JSU.
Please, Tuklu. No, JSU.
I mean, but we'll change it up. Number seven, Frank Ochoa.
Frank Mill?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which joke? Hold up.
Wait, this is the question. Which one gonna be listening?
Ooh, that's a good question.
They no good question. You know who's gonna be this. Only one can miss.
Oh, man.
Overall, I ain't laughing.
I don't know, bro. Can I pick them both?
I mean, but one Benny and one. Okay, all right.
Which joke way?
Oh, you talking about the
one that passed?
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna say Chokwe. I wasn't here during the Frank Melton administration.
So. I was here. I say Chokwe.
Chokwe.
Chokwe. All right. Mm-hmm. Antar or Tony?
Oh. Antar.
Tony.
Tony.
Oh. Anthony. And number 9. Oh, my bad. Lost my page. Number 9, Jay says, or the Golden Girls.
Oh, man.
They 17. Yeah, the police officer got caught. Yeah. Jay says 17, but.
You know what, man? I'm going to go with the Golden Girls, man.
Wow.
Little freaks.
That's because I know some of them personally and did know a lot of them personally in college.
That's what we're good.
Golden Girls. People be sleeping on the Golden Girls, man. I'm going to say that too.
Tragic.
I'm going to say the Golden Girls, man.
Man, this is hard for me because I don't subscribe to, like, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's the first time we've ever asked a lady this question.
Yeah, but I have no idea. So if I, like,
which
I don't
do you feel is the better dancing squad?
That's what I'm telling you. I haven't even seen.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, not lately. Like, I don't go to get and
you
watch
use
the
history.
But if I picked, it wouldn't be off of dance skill. So I'm gonna just pick and not tell you why. So I'm gonna go with the Golden Girls.
Okay.
Just because of some other stuff.
Lynn?
I feel the same way as Miranda, honestly. So I'm just gonna go with Jay Sets. I'm just gonna do the complete opposite.
Yeah, it don't have anything to do with dance though.
Nope.
Just so you know.
Because
they gonna be like, we be killing out there with the kicks. They'll be like, bro, I ain't seen your kicks. That wasn't why I said Golden Girl. Hey, ladies. Hey, Jay Sets. What's up, booze? I'm just. They making me choose.
And number 10, Lindsay Hunter or James Robbins?
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't. I know. Okay. That's tough. Well, that's tough. Know. That's tougher than it sounds.
Hey, which one you gonna roll with?
You know what, man?
It's fourth quarter. You're down by 3.
I'm gonna take James Robinson.
Whoa,
Hollywood!
You gonna take Hollywood to clutch?
I'm gonna take Hollywood.
Wow!
Because everybody gonna say Lindsay.
He gonna listen to this just because you said
that's good. That's good. You just want to subscribe. I'm gonna take Hollywood over Lindsay Hunter, man. No disrespect to Lindsay, man, but. I'm gonna tell you Hollywood.
If
you
thought about passing it to James Robinson, he already
did it. Already. It's already gone. A lot of them is in the air.
I mean, bruh. I mean, this is
3 times.
Run the 1-4 high all day. Give me the ball and go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Roundtable once again. Thank you guys for listening. As always, make sure you like and share the podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend. If you have any questions, make sure you email us, latenightjackson@gmail.com. Attention, the Roundtable. For myself and all of our guests, we thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, iron sharp as iron.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Great show, man. This is probably the best show ever.
Was it really?
I just that was a great show. I like it.
We're getting pretty good.
Space. I like y'all. Y'all great at this.
That boy good.
That's fine. That's why I'm going to shop all this quick.
What you got to do?